And we're going to turn in our Bibles to Romans chapter number 6, if you would please. Romans chapter number 6. And of course, it's always wonderful to be in church on Easter Sunday. Really, every Sunday is a celebration of the resurrection of Christ. As of course, in the Old Testament, the Sabbath day was Saturday. But since Christ rose from the dead on the first day of the week, we gather on Sunday, of course, in remembrance and in celebration of the New Testament in His blood. But I do think it's nice to set aside one Sunday a year to fully celebrate and concentrate on Jesus's resurrection. I think that's a wonderful thing. Romans chapter number 6, and beginning in the third verse, the Bible says, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him." And let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for the opportunity to be in church on Resurrection Sunday. And Father, we thank You for a few moments of time set aside to think and contemplate on the Word of God and its wonderful truths. Father, I pray that our thoughts concerning the resurrection this morning would impact our life in such a way that we might live a life that is a little more pleasing in Your eyes because we have gathered here together this morning. In Jesus' name, we ask it. Amen. Today, of course, we celebrate the watershed moment in human history, the day God raised Jesus of Nazareth from the dead, confirming He indeed was the only begotten of the Father, the Son of God, the Creator and Judge of all the earth. And sometimes I try, as I read the Scriptures, to imagine that day 2,000 years ago, when some of Jesus' followers, women followers, went to the tomb early on the first day of the week and found the stone rolled away. Boy, what a bewildering moment it must have been. And I'm sure there was surprise and dismay and wonder and bewilderment at first. And then finally, there was great joy given because Jesus had risen from the dead. It was a day that changed everything in the world. Before that day, man could not have a way to be united again with his Creator. Before that way, the sins of mankind for all of human history would keep them from the presence of God. But when Jesus died and when Jesus rose again, He made a way possible for sinful man, for unholy and unrighteous man to be reconciled to a holy and righteous God. It was the watershed moment in human history. As a matter of fact, it is so interesting that we even call it in the English language His story. That is history. It was a day that changed everything for the world and changed everything for mankind. And just as important to the individual is the day when the resurrected Christ became a living reality in my life. And so here we have the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, a watershed moment in human history. But many, even in that day, it went by unnoticed. Many never thought much about it. It didn't transform or change their life, but it could have. But it could have. It could have. And so it could our life. The power of the resurrection not only has the power to change the world, but also to the power to change my world. And that is a thing worth considering. Of course, it is all in the potential. The resurrection of Christ, never received. The resurrection of Christ, never believed. The resurrection of Christ, never considered. The resurrection of Christ, never contemplated. The resurrection of Christ, going unnoticed in the world or in my life, would make no great difference. But for those who stop to contemplate, those who stop to consider, those who stop to receive, it can make all the difference in the world. Because of the resurrection, I have a potentially different world. A potentially different world. A potentially different destination. John chapter number 11 in our Bible. John chapter 11. Because Jesus rose from the dead, every human being that has lived on the face of the earth before or since has a potentially different destination than if Jesus had never came, had never died, had never risen again. John 11 and verse 25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And of course, this is when John rose, or when Jesus rose in John, when Jesus rose Lazarus from the dead. And of course, he's talking to his sister here. And she said, he said to her, Lazarus shall rise again. And she said to him, I know he'll rise at the last day. And he said, no, you're mistaken. I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus said, anytime I say, he will rise again. Anytime I say. And sure enough, Jesus rose him from the dead. Although he'd die again, one day Lazarus will arise through faith in Christ and never die again. And even today, Lazarus is not truly dead, but lives in heaven with Christ because of the resurrection. Before I received the risen Savior, I was destined for eternal hell. But because he rose, and because he lives, and he ever liveth to make intercession for me, I, like anyone else in this room or in the world that has ever put their faith in the resurrected Christ, has eternal life. A different destination because Jesus came, died on the cross, and rose again. Colossians 1 puts it this way, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You say, why can I have eternal life in a different destination rather than going to hell for eternity? I can go to heaven for eternity potentially because I can have Christ living in me, the hope of glory. John chapter 14 in our Bible. So when Jesus rose again, he brought great potential into this world and into my world. He brought great potential, the potential for a different destination. If you're here today and you know Christ as your Savior, then according to the Bible, you have eternal life in him. And he, of course, dwelleth in you. And if you, before you were saved, rather, before you had received Christ, before you knew the resurrected Savior, you were on your way to eternity in hell. And let me say, that is true with every human being who's ever lived on the face of the earth. No man cometh unto the Father, but by him, the Bible says. And so potentially, there was a great difference made when Jesus rose from the dead. But it is in the potential I must receive him. John chapter 14. Let verse number 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And so Jesus said to those that were believing on Him while He walked on earth, He said, I'm going to go away and I'm going to prepare a place for you, a literally a unique place just for you because you believed on My name. And He said, and if I go and I prepare a place from you, that is proof and evidence that I will come again and receive you unto Myself. And He said, of course, that they would have a home with Him for all of eternity. And let me say, every human being, because Jesus rose from the dead, every human being on the face of the earth today has potential to have eternal life. But it depends on whether they receive it. But then let me say to every Christian, if you're here today and you say, well, I've received eternal life. I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, when Jesus died on the cross and rose again from the dead, He just didn't give you the potential to have eternal life. He also had a potential world-changing things in your life beyond salvation of your eternal soul. So not only is my destination potentially different, but I now, as a Christian, have a potential difference in motivation. Matthew chapter number 6. In other words, what moves me in life? What, if you will, propels me to accomplish what I'm seeking or searching for in life? Before Jesus rose from the dead, or rather before I came to know the risen Savior personally, the best I could hope for in this world was just to live a life seeking the comforts of this world wherever I could. That was the best I could hope for. You live your 70 years or so, and then you die. But since I know the risen Savior, since I know the resurrection and the life, since I know the One who will help me live forever, now I can have a different motivation. I don't have to live on the lowly animal plane, so to speak, of just being subject to trying to find comfort in this world. Matthew 6 and verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Before the living Savior came into my heart, the best I could hope for was seeking some semblance of comfort on earth. But now I have the potential. It potentially can be motivation changing, right? Just like it can be destination changing, my faith in Christ can be motivation changing. Now, it doesn't have to be, because just as Romans 6 told us, just as it told us, we still have this flesh. And let me just say, flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. Your flesh will not go to heaven for eternity, the Bible says. That's why the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall not all sleep or be dead in Christ, but we shall all be changed because this mortal must put on immortality. And let me say, this flesh that I live in here on this earth, it is not going to heaven, but thanks be to God because Christ dwelleth in me, that when they plant my body in the ground, that one day like a seed sprouting, when the resurrection comes, my soul and spirit will get a new body and rise from the dead. And so I can live for the future world instead of mainly for this world. I can live seeking the things that are above, Colossians chapter 3. But I don't have to. I can if I want to, even though I have this great treasure in my earthen vessel. I can live for this world that is dying rather than the one to come. Colossians 3 and verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Oh, what a joy it is to know that there is more to life than this old sinful world. Oh, I'm so glad I don't have to live for a car that as soon as you drive it off the lot, begins to fall apart. right? Thank God I don't have to live for a house that just keeps falling apart more and more the longer it's there. Thank God I don't have to live just for the things of this earth, that the money is not the most important thing in the life of a Christian, or success in this world, or popularity in this world, or authority in this world is not what we live for. Matter of fact, the Bible says the first shall be last and the last shall be first. The Bible says that what I'm really supposed to do in this life is I'm supposed to say, you know, I could have more in this life, but I want to exchange it for something better. And so here, the servant is greatest of all. Why? Because those who serve him here on earth will rule and reign with him one day. That's the life of a Christian. And thank God it is. I mean, it is so good to know that I don't have to play the political games of the world and try to work my way up the corporate ladder or whatever it is in life, that instead I can just live for Christ. Let Him judge me one day in righteousness. I can just live a life that says, as the song says, just give me a place to stay, basically, here on earth, because I've got a mansion over there. I'm not worried about what I have here today. Motivation. Motivation. Oh, how blessed it is to live for a higher calling, to serve the risen Christ who shall reign for all eternity. But again, it's in potential. The resurrection of Christ and even His salvation imparted to me when I understood the resurrection, comprehended and received it, only gives me the potential to live for the world to come. It doesn't give me the actuality unless I choose it. Number three, the potential change in destination, a potential change in motivation, a potential change in administration. Romans chapter 6 in our Bible. Romans chapter 6. Verse number 9. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over Him. For in that He died unto sin once, but in that He liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. The Bible says this. The Bible says because Jesus rose from the dead. The Bible says because the risen Savior dwelleth in our hearts by faith. The Bible says that we can live the victorious Christian life. We can have a change of administration in what rules our life. And boy, it's nice. There's lots of times we look for a change in administration in this world, right? But this is the greatest change of administration you could possibly have. You can, instead of living in the lust of the flesh, you can instead live in the power of the Spirit. What a wonderful, wonderful thing it is. Because Jesus has conquered sin and death, I can now live yielded to the Spirit rather than the flesh. But let me say, I have to choose that yieldedness. You know, the Christian life is really about submitting. That's really what it's about. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You can't do it the other way around. Can't say, resist the devil, and then I'll submit to God. No, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Then you'll have the power to resist the devil, of course, and he will flee from you. And so Jesus said, because he rose from the grave. And so let me just say, if you're here this morning, you say, boy, I'm a Christian and I know Jesus as my Savior, but my flesh seems to be running the administration of my life, seems to be in charge instead of the Spirit. Well, the Bible says there's an easy way to solve that. And that is to yield yourself to the Spirit each and every day. And just change the administration, right? Just change the administration. Say, how do you do it? You read your Bible. The words that I say unto you, they are spirit and they are life, the Bible says. You spend time in prayer. Why? You fellowship in the Spirit with God. And when you live in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And so walk with the Lord. Put Him in charge of your life. And all of a sudden you'll find the power of the resurrected life. The resurrection gives us, of course, the potential change of destination, the potential change of motivation, what we're seeking, the potential change of administration, and finally, the potential change of inspiration. Inspiration is basically what I'm filled with. It means to breathe into. And so inspiration is basically what I'm filled with in life. Ephesians chapter 5. What am I filled with in life? Ephesians chapter number 5. Now, before I received Christ, before the resurrection became a personal reality to me as a Christian, before as an 8-year-old boy, I heard the gospel preached and understood it for the first time, although I'd heard it many times. And before the Spirit drew me and convicted me of sin and drew me to salvation, and before I really comprehended that I needed to believe in Christ as my Savior, before that happened, I could not be filled with the Spirit of God. I could only be filled with self. That's all I could be filled with. Because all I had, I was an empty shell, basically. It's like an inner tube or a tire with an inner tube that has just a giant gash in it. Anything godly that came in just kind of goes right out, right? But all of a sudden, when I received Christ as my Savior, I was given the ability to be filled with the Spirit of God. A new creature was created inside of me, a new man. And this man could be filled with the Spirit of God, whereas this flesh has just got too many holes in it. All right? Too many holes. You'll never fill it up. I don't care how much air you try to put in it. It's not going to work. The only thing that this flesh can be pumped up with is self. And that's bloated, not really inspired. All right? Before salvation, I had no capacity to be filled with the Spirit, but rather only with self, which is just empty air. But now I can be filled with the Spirit of God to accomplish His work and good. Ephesians 5, verse 15. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Notice, he's writing to Christians. And he said, hey, Christian, because you're a Christian, you have some potential change in inspiration. What fills you? What fills you? He said, you can be still drunk with wine. Now, let me say, your spirit doesn't get drunk. That's your flesh. But you're supposed to be filled with the Spirit. Romans chapter 1 in our Bible. He even helps us understand what is filling us. What is filling us in life. Romans chapter 1 in verse 28, he even gives the reason when we're not filled with the Spirit of God. Romans 1 and verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Romans 7 says, with the mind I serve the law of Christ, but with the flesh the law of sin. And so they didn't like to retain God in their knowledge. So God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Is my life filled with the Spirit? Or is it filled with these things? Right? These things. Full of these things. Notice verse 29 again. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, etc. I'm saying today that when Jesus died on the cross and rose again on the third day, when the real Resurrection Sunday happened, the original, first, and only real one that we celebrate every year, of course, when that Resurrection Sunday happened, it gave great potential. But just like someone who never receives Christ, even though Jesus died on the cross, even though He rose again on the third day, even though He conquered death, even though He conquered hell, even though while He was on the cross, He paid for their specific, particular sins. Nevertheless, if they never receive Him, they will still spend eternity in hell. So it's only potential. Potential. And let me say, as a Christian, once I've received Christ, there's a lot of other potential that came at the resurrection. But it's up to me whether I choose to believe God and live by God.